Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and we're back to talk about something that we have not talked about in a very long time. Tottenham Hotspur have completed not one, but two transfers, bringing players into the club for the most part. But, you know, it's been literally 2 years. It's been 500 and something days. The last guy we talked about this was Lucas Moura, if you can cast your mind back that far. And now we have two more to talk about. Tonight, I am joined by two of our regulars. Leading us off is my sidekick, Ben Daniels. Ben, how excited are you that Tottenham Hotspur are once again engaged in capitalism?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, the free market is a wonderful thing. And it's nice to see Daniel Levy finally participating in it and maximizing. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Talking about transfers, Ben. We're talking about transfers. Next up, we have coming to us live from the Tanji Ndombele news desk. It's Robbie Schatz. Robbie, Reno, Wallabout. Rob, how's it going?
Is that how we're going to pronounce that? Is that what we're doing?
It's Tanji, I think, is how he said it. Tanji, I'm not sure how. We're going to learn. It's probably
like,
not.
It's like Tanji.
Tanji.
Tanji, okay, Tanji Ndombele, so there we go.
Ndombele.
Whatever, all right.
Ndombele. Happy Tanguz Day, like, everybody.
It's like Dembele, but there's like an N in front of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Ndombele.
Ndombele.
Sure, better.
So yeah, holy shit, guys, we signed two players. Let's start off with the headline. Ndombele, who, fuck it, we're going to say that until I learn differently. He is, I don't know, came in for £55 million, could escalate to over 60, but who cares about that? This is maybe the most exciting Spurs signing since Van der Vaart, just in terms of how hyped Spurs fans are. Ben, would you disagree with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a kind of guy that's a real holy shit signing. You can't believe he fell to a team like Spurs, even though we have, you know, all the faith and belief in this team, and of course Daniel Levy's transfer negotiating skills, but is already a star and on his way to being a real big star once people start seeing him in England and on the bigger stage. And it's miraculous that there's so many other teams who needed a player like him, like Real Madrid, like Man City, like Man United, who fucked up, and now he's coming to us. And that doesn't happen very often.
Rob, this is the kind of guy that we usually see, like he was saying. I mean, he goes to bigger clubs. He goes to, you know, this is the kind of guy that, like, it's like De Jong at Barcelona. He gets snatched up before anyone else can get him by a big club. How did this happen?
Willing to pay him. And we were willing to pay Lyon. And a whole bunch of chips just kind of fell right for us in a way that they totally did not last summer, when we supposedly had several big moves lined up, and then each one after another, just kind of fell apart. And yeah, sometimes that happens. And for once, Daniel Levy was willing to open his wallet.
Well,
pay for a guy we identified.
He didn't even pay that much for the guy. Like, $55 million is not what someone of his going for in this market. I mean, players are very expensive. You know, he's more than twice as good as Andre Gomez. You know, and again, so many teams needed a guy like this.
Yeah, well,
I mean, there should have been a bidding war that we probably lost. And instead, you know, Jean-Michel Olas at Lyon was desperate for anybody to come in and bid on him, and all I heard was crickets.
Well, this is the weird thing about this transfer is, like, you look back to, like, I guess it was 2 years ago when Liverpool bought Keita. You know, I think of Liverpool mostly with these signings because Liverpool is a club that doesn't have – they're richer than us, but they're not City. They're not United. They're not Barcelona. And they seem to, the last couple of years, have really zeroed in on these transfers where it's just like, for whatever fucking reason, nobody else is disrupting the transfer. And these players are dead set on going to Liverpool, and obviously they throw money around. But, you know, it was like, I remember when the Keita transfer was going, I was like, where's Juventus? Where's City? Somebody fucked this up for them. And no one did. And it was just this, like, very straightforward negotiation. It seemed like the player had his heart set on Liverpool. That's what happened here. And I guess I've seen that happen to us with a lesser class of player, or a younger class of player. But holy shit, it happened with, like you said, Ben, this is a guy who could improve City. This is a guy who could improve Barcelona, Real Madrid. I mean, this guy, I mean, I think Spurs fans are maybe getting a little overexcited about him, but I mean, he should be ready to hit the ground running, and he's one of the most exciting young players in Europe.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting overly excited. I mean, I think it's exciting because we haven't seen a central midfielder in a really long time. But, like, guys like that are not guys that people tend to get, like, super amped about. You know, central midfielders are not the most glamorous position on the pitch. I think he is going to just improve us so much in a way that no single signing has since, I don't know, Modric? Is that hyperbole?
Well, maybe a little. I'm going to take it to another level. I think he's coming in more polished than Modric did. Maybe he's not going to be as good as Modric, but I think he won't need as much time to adjust to the league as Modric did.
He's not going to start playing as a
left winger.
Yeah, we know his position for one thing. So.
And the manager will actually trust him to play it. Hopefully.
So, Ben, what... I mean, you talked about the kind of improvement he's going to make immediately. What makes him... What makes Ndombele such a valuable immediate addition to Spurs?
I mean, he is basically a cross between Dembele and Modric, you know, although not as good as either at the thing that they're both great at. But like Dembele, he's a fantastic dribbler through midfield. He is an incredibly press-resistant midfielder, so he holds the ball under pressure really, really well, which is something we've struggled with a lot in the past season since Dembele retired, essentially. You know, also like Modric, he is a really, really good passer and moving the ball into the final third. You know, he is just really composed on the ball. He can beat a man and progress it and transition defense into attack really, really well. And also, like both of them, he is a very strong defensive player. You know, he is not, despite what you'll probably hear from the press, the next N'Golo Kanté. He is not a defensive midfielder. But he is also, you know, not a guy you run past or through very easily. And, you know, when he does win tackles and interceptions again, he turns that into an attack very quickly. You know, he plays for Lyon at a high level. He was doing all of this in the Champions League during their campaign. You know, there's not a lot of concern that he's going to be intimidated by the speed or physicality or quality in the Premier League.
It's worth pointing out, when you're talking about the Champions League, I mean, we are talking about teams like Barcelona, City, that he was putting impressive performances against. It wasn't just like, oh, they played Red Star Belgrade and he sort of whipped their ass. I mean, he was playing very well against much better teams. I'm very excited. I mean, Rob, who's sort of on the wrong end of the stick here in terms of, is Ndombele going to really force someone out, or are we just going to change the way we play? And I mean, I would imagine Sissoko is going to see his minutes hurt by this, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question because we still don't have any healthy, good defensive midfielders to pair him with, really, unless you think that Dyer is A, sticking around, or B, capable of returning to the level he was at previously.
I think either of those is a toss-up.
I personally don't think that Ndombele is a replacement for either of them. So that we could see them change the way they play and maybe play three in midfield and Sissoko stays out there with Ndombele and then another midfielder. You could play him in a two the way that they played Dembele, and the amount of defensive work he does would make someone like Dier or whatever's left of Victor Wanyama sort of able to spend most of their energy destroying and winning the ball and screening the back four as opposed to worrying about things like passing and dribbling. So I mean, it will sort of depend on what else they're planning on doing this summer, because we now have a lot of midfielders.
Well, we might be adding more, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
But no matter who you're putting him out there with, like, he just does so much and does so much well that everyone's going to get a little bit better just from having him around, in the way that I think we sort of missed how much Dembele made everybody around him look good.
Well, that's... Like, go ahead.
Sorry, with Dembele next to him, Eric Dier looked like a pretty top-class defensive midfielder. And since Dembele died, you know, it hasn't quite looked so smooth, because there's been he's had to do a lot more, and you know,
how much of that's injury, how much of that's no Dembele is open for interpretation. But
sure,
but having a guy like Dembele means that Dier can make a simple, quick pass to the guy closest to him, and trust that, you know, no matter how many other guys are around him, we're still likely to retain the ball and still turn that into useful possession. And right, passing the ball to Musa Sissoko in that situation, you know, is a turnover waiting to happen.
Yeah, and if it's a bad pass, then you know exactly what's going to happen. Whereas Dembele, I think, saved a lot of maybe below-average passes just because he was so press-resistant.
Well, right, and so willing to get back immediately and put in good tackles and, you know, win balls in those sort of marginal spaces when a bad ball happens around him.
I think to me this is the most exciting thing about the signing, which is he is the answer to just so many problems Spurs were having last year about the way they played, their depth issues. It was just like, he doesn't solve all of them, but when you look at like what was wrong with Spurs last year, or what can Spurs improve, like him or a player like him is exactly the kind of guy we should have gotten. We probably got the best option that we could have. Someone I would have thought was out of our range until it just seemed like, I don't know, either Pep Guardiola just really loves this kid from Atletico, or he doesn't like African footballers, or, well, black footballers, because he is French. You know, I don't know which it is, but this guy just fell into our lap. I didn't think we could get a guy who just is a... Very rarely, I feel like, as a Spurs fan, do you just get a guy who is the answer to exactly every question you're asking about your team. And he feels like it's it. He solves defensive issues. He solves midfield solidity issues. He solves passing issues. He solves bulk progression issues.
Yeah, the biggest thing he does is gives us a new way to progress the ball. You know, without a midfield this past season, we have had to rely a lot on diagonal passing from Toby and some passing from, you know, Vertonghen to a lesser extent. And then Kieran Trippier, you know, was the leader on our team of progressive passes into the final third. And that's not a great place to be, to have A, your right back be that crucial of a person on your team, and B, when that person is Kieran Trippier. You know, it's not like we had Danny Alves out there bombing down the flank and whipping ass.
Or even Kyle Walker.
We all know how limited... Yeah, we didn't have Kyle Walker. You know, we know how limited Trippier is, and we know what happens when he gets pushed a little too far forward. Bad things happen the other way. So allowing us to move the ball through midfield, you know, just gives us just so much more in how we attack and how we can not concede goals on the counterattack coming the other way.
It also means that your frontline players, your Christian Eriksens and Harry Kanes and Dele Alli's, don't have to come to like within 10 yards of their own goal to collect the ball because you don't trust anybody to hold on to it.
Well, I'll tell you, the other thing I'm excited to see is going off sort of what we were talking about Dier in terms of how much Dembele made Dier look like a better player. I'm really interested in seeing what playing next to Ndombele does for Harry Winks, who I feel like I'm a little less high on him than a lot of Spurs fans are, and I don't know, that might just be down to injuries. It could also be just deficiencies in the midfield. And I don't know which it is, but I think we're going to see just how good Winks can be playing next to somebody of this guy's caliber. And I'm really excited to see if Winks takes a step up next year as a result of playing alongside him and playing in a more functional. You know, I think we asked Winks to do a lot with a lot of players that, you know, needed some help, and I don't think it always reflected well on him.
I think I know who you're talking about, Greg. I just want you to know that I'm very offended.
Well, I didn't want to offend the Mississauga news desk, but I am, like, I am, especially if we sign some of the other guys we're being linked with this summer, I'm so excited to see what our attack looks like next year, because I, you know, just Ndombele's ability to progress the ball, if we get a guy like, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but Lo Celso or Ceballos, like, I don't know who we're going to get, but if we get some of these guys, you know, if we keep Eriksen, which is looking a little more unlikely by the day, I'm just so interested in what that attack looks like, especially with, like, a healthy Harry Kane up top, with a Heung-Min Son who doesn't have to go to, like, fucking five international tournaments in a single season, with a team that just isn't coming off a World Cup. I'm just, this guy is such a solid foundation for this entire team, that even if we don't upgrade our fullbacks, I'm feeling way better about where Spurs are after signing him. I'm so excited.
So my question is, how is Danny Rose feeling about it on his birthday?
I mean, he probably still had to Google this guy.
poor Danny. He only asked for one thing.
Sign Lionel Messi. So... Are there any final Ndombele thoughts? We'll talk about him a little bit more as we talk about the entire team, but are there any specific thoughts that anyone wants to get out before we move on to our other transfer that we made today?
I think, you know, one of the things that we will see from Ndombele is a transition probably to a more of a double pivot kind of midfield than, you know, we saw a lot of three-man midfields last year, a lot of diamonds. And I think, you know, with him and a guy like Lo Celso or Danny Ceballos, we'll be able to play a true two-man midfield, which should, you know, again, allow us to get more attackers on the pitch and free those attackers in ways that they've, like you said earlier, been a little hamstrung.
And maybe even protect our fullbacks if we can't upgrade at those positions in the offseason.
Yeah, so many good things.
Oh, it's so good. Like I said, I cannot think of another signing that is just such an answer to so many questions at once. It's so good. Rob, any final thoughts?
I do want to say that, obviously, this deal probably doesn't happen if they don't pay him a salary that is probably pretty good. But, okay.
Everything all right?
Yeah. Fireworks start early around here, you know, for the signings and everything. I do think the story that he really wanted to play for Pochettino is significant, and we shouldn't understate how much it matters that, like, we have a manager that is so respected that dudes want to come play for Tottenham.
I don't think it's just that. I think it is that. But I think it's not just that he's so respected. It's that young players look at what he's done with other young players. And, like, it seems to me, a guy we'll talk about a little bit later, but Sessegnon, for example, seems to want to come to Spurs, partly because he wants to stay in London, but also because he probably trusts his career with Mauricio Pochettino more than anyone else that he could sign for. And I think that's a big reason why we're getting, you know, while we got a guy like Ndombele and these guys that we're being linked for, I think that's a big reason. And we're really probably coming off the Champions League final. I don't know if it's the peak. He might, you know, who knows what he'll do in the years to come, but certainly at the height of his, you know, attractiveness as a draw for these young guys. And it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought the guys want to come play in the new stadium was kind of silly and overblown. But, like, these days, with a world-class manager and being in the Champions League every season, like, it's a pretty cool place to be.
Well, and that training complex. I mean, that's probably a pretty cool place to go to work every day.
Yeah. But, I mean, I haven't seen...
I think, coupled with everything else, I think coupled with everything else, it just makes us look like a legit operation in a way that impresses people. But like, you can come to a place like our new stadium, like our new training ground, and be like, oh, this team means business. They're not some, you know, fly-by-night operation who got lucky a couple seasons. Like, we look legit. We look professional. And, you know, we have the manager that we do, and we have now a record that's starting to back up that this project is going to pay dividends. You know, I think it, altogether, it's a very appealing package for a young player who, you know, especially a young player who knows that a team like this and a coach like this is going to give them minutes and give them the opportunity to shine and be part of something that's actually good. And, you know, and giving them a paycheck that also looks like a grown-up big boy club is going to give you.
Think about this, Ben, just since we're talking about this. Think about, go back to the beginning of your time as a Spurs fan, and think about this now, that if there is a player where all other things being equal, wage, minutes, you know, open positions on the team, like, all other things being equal, if they had a choice between Arsenal and Spurs right now, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You're coming to Tottenham. And I don't think I'm speaking that with, like, you know, lily white-colored glasses on. I think we are just such a more attractive club right now because of who's here, how we're running it, what we've done in the last, like, 10 to 15 years in terms of infrastructure. And it's just, I think if you go back to sort of, you know, where we were 10, 15 years ago in relation to Arsenal, it's kind of insane to think about how far we've come and also how far they've fallen, which is pretty great. But it's just, it's wild to think that. I mean, you know, we're a North London team is bringing some of the most exciting talent in France to the Premier League, just like it always did. It's just a different North London team.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it really can't go without saying that, like, the finances are a big part of it. You know, all things being equal means we're paying the same wages.
Yes, that is a big part of it, like, or close to
that
it. Yeah.
That has not been a thing that we could say, all things being equal. Like, that's never been equal. We've always been way behind on that. But, you know, for those of you who saw the delightful Swiss Ramble report on Arsenal's, you know, finances recently, and you can see that gap narrowing in ways that, given their head start, really shouldn't have. You know, it's getting easier to say, you know, yeah, we can make all things equal because, you know, we do have the money to pay you. And it's a game changer.
And it's just, it's great. It's so great. It's so great. But because we have changed the game, this wasn't the only signing we had today. The other guy was Jack Clark from Leeds United. Tottenham spent about $8 million on him. And he's not going to play for us this year. We're loaning him back to Leeds. I think this is a good thing, Rob. I mean, are you frustrated that we're not getting this guy in depth? Or do you think giving him a year of presumably first-team football is the right move?
Well, again, on the theme of managers, this arrangement doesn't happen if the manager of Leeds isn't the guy that Pochettino calls his second father.
Probably not.
I think that in the evaluation of where he is in his development, Tottenham decided that another year at Leeds with a manager who will work with him and improve him and have him playing in a way that is similar enough to the way that Tottenham play that we know he'll be in good hands really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, if his development is going to be left in anybody's hands, we also are good hands to put him in. But it does sound like Spurs weren't exactly excited by this loan back. It seems like that was something that we had to agree to get it done, and we were just comfortable enough with, you know, with that arrangement that we did it anyway.
Yeah, we've walked away from similar deals in the past for players.
Right. But it sounded like our original intention with him was that he would be part of the squad this season. And I don't know if it would just be like a, you know, Juan Foyth situation where he'll be part of the squad, but we're not going to see him on the pitch ever. Which probably, you know, I mean, I've only watched highlight footage of him. And he doesn't seem ready to me to be like Dele Alli and come in and immediately be a contributor. But yeah, so another year should be good for him.
I mean, this is not a guy.
Reserves or
this is not a guy who played a lot of full games for Leeds last year. He came off the bench a lot. I mean, he needs minutes, and I think we should be doing this more often. But I think you're right. Like, if there's anybody we're ever going to trust with this, it's Bielsa. I mean, even if I'm sure Bielsa and Pochettino have talked about this, but even if they hadn't, I'd still trust Bielsa with this guy.
Yeah, I think the other thing that he really needs is, like, just some physical growth, you know, in the way that Harry Winks did. He just looks, like, I know he's 18, but he looks like a child. He doesn't look like, oh, he's 18, but he looks like a man. You know, he is slight, he is skinny, he is not the fastest guy out there, he is not the strongest guy out there. But I think another year of just physical growth for him will definitely do him a lot of good.
And a new haircut.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think that's his biggest thing he needs to improve. Is this a... What does he look like? I think he looks like a guy who complains about girls who won't go out with him. I mean, but he needs to change his haircut before he gets the Spurs.
Does he talk a lot about Chads and Stacys?
I think he does. I mean, that's a really bad look.
I don't know. I think he wanted to look like a cool soccer player and asked his mom to do the best job she could replicating a haircut he saw in a magazine. Now he's just living with it.
Well, hopefully Deli takes his barber to, like, fucking Venice Beach, so hopefully he can hook him up once he gets to Tottenham.
I don't know why you guys are complaining about Jason Williams circa 2002 Sacramento Kings.
Wow, that... Okay.
Yeah, that's a real deep cut for me, Rob.
Just for our American listeners.
So,
right.
Ben, what kind of...
Pause the podcast, Google that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let us know if that is actually a good comparison / joke on Rob's part. And then please resume listening.
So, is this a good signing? Are we happy with it? Is it just a lottery ticket? I mean...
Can you imagine if this was the signing without the other signing today?
No. And I think the signing has been done for, like, about a week, and they held off on it specifically for that reason.
I think that's pretty good marketing, don't you? All things considered.
I mean, I think it's good for this kid's, like, future fucking mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he can just concentrate on, like, getting a better haircut and continuing his development and not worry about being the face of the franchise.
We're not having that, like, Gareth Bale, like, oh, we never win with him type bullshit.
No, there'll be plenty of time for that.
You know, it was not an impressive signing announcement today. Arsenal's new teenager from Brazil, Gabriel Martinelli, who the fuck is that guy? I don't know. Maybe he's hot shit. I've never heard of him. It felt so much like Arsenal was just felt so bad about their own situation this summer that they were desperate to try and cling to some relevancy and make it. Put on a good face that they were actually doing some work out there.
Don't forget, they're going after Zaha. They're going after Zaha, a guy who has basically kept Crystal Palace up for a few years, and they're offering them $40 million stretched out over several seasons. It's just, you hate to see it.
Yeah, what were they talking about, like $80 million for us or something?
Yeah, more than that. But I'll tell you what, I am very grateful that this, like, we have passed this voodoo to the other side of North London, because... I really, like, 40 is about what I would spend, the limit of what I'd be comfortable spending on Zaha, and I'd still probably not be thrilled about it, so I'm glad Arsenal's fucking around with it. I mean, if they want to blow their whole transfer budget on him, God bless. But
I mean, it sounds like Ayoze Perez is going from Newcastle to Leicester for, like, $30 million. Zaha is more than $10 million better than that. Like, even though he's older, you know, he's on a long contract, you know, they're going to have to pay. And instead, they're going to come back offering $40 million in £1 if it was Suarez and wonder why that's not enough to get it done.
But Rob, I believe there's other good news out of our fellow London teams today, is there not?
Our friends in the East?
Yeah, maybe.
They also made some news today.
What was that?
Marco Arnautovic is trying to leave again. And they're not having it. They're not having it, Greg.
Are they outraged?
They're something.
But Ben, the good news keeps on rolling over at Chelsea, doesn't it?
That's right. Sounds like they're about to appoint Frank Lampard as their new manager.
Jesus
Christ. Which isn't really news. We've known that was coming for a while. We've had a lot of time to laugh about this.
Yeah, but I just want to keep piling on is my basic point here. It's what a great day of transfer news. We waited 2 years for this, and I don't know if it was worth the wait, but it sure felt good.
Yeah, everything's coming up Tottenham right now.
So, everything keeps coming up Tottenham. So, we talked about the Ndombele signing and how all these dominoes just kept falling for us, and teams weren't interested. You know, no major competitors were out there. We had the money. We got the player on board. And it looks like that's happening again down in Spain, because it looks like Lo Celso is... I don't know if he's dead set on Spurs, but it doesn't look like anybody else is getting involved. Now, I'm sure the Copa America is putting some things on ice, and Tottenham probably focusing all their energies in France for the last few weeks, but it looks like what happened with Ndombele is going to happen with Lo Celso again. I mean, depending on if we need to sell to buy, but just no one else seems to be interested or sniffing around this. All the reports about United seem to be Bettis just trying to drum up another suitor, and it doesn't seem to be working. I don't know what Daniel Levy did, what kind of good karma he's living off of, but it sure is great, isn't it?
I think 1 year away from negotiating with Daniel Levy made everybody forget what a monster he is. And now he's back with a vengeance.
But he's got a secret weapon now. He just lets Pochettino get on the phone, and suddenly players are swooning.
Buys them some Argentinian tea, gets some of that caffeine in them, and it's all over from there.
He goes into their rooms while they're sleeping and inspects their legs.
Work for him, it'll work for them.
That's right. But yeah, the reports are that he's been in touch personally with Lo Celso as well, and convinced him that they are turning their attentions toward him and that they're still going to make it happen.
I mean, I always figured this was a little more likely than the Ndombele signing, just because he's Argentinian, and I figured he would have an inside track, but I don't know why
most people, I think, figured it would be easier for Tottenham to deal with Betis than their old friend Oda and Lyon.
Yeah.
But apparently Betis are holding out for a lot of money, too, so...
Well, I mean, they got to pay about 25% of this transfer fee to PSG, so they're not going to want to sell them cheap, but I don't know how much of that's just them posturing and how much of it's like... I mean, nothing's... Right now, as we're recording, Brazil's playing Argentina in the Copa America. Rob, how's that game going? I know you have it on mute.
Well, I changed the channel when it hit halftime, but there had been a goal in several fights. Danny Alves almost killed a guy.
Our next major sign.
The usual.
Well,
so Greg.
Yeah.
You're a resident Real Betis expert.
There we go.
Since you saw them in person. and, you know, you've mentioned that they're turning over a lot of their squad this summer, and, you know, it's kind of an overhaul. So do they really need this money?
Probably.
Because they're losing a lot of guys, or do they not need to sell him because they're losing a lot of guys already?
I think it's a kind of a... It's not. It's both to a lesser extent. I don't think they're losing guys other than Lo Celso that they want to. They're not losing anyone that they don't want to lose other than him. I also have a strong suspicion, just reading between the lines of the media reports, that when they bought him, it was with the intention of flipping him. And I think if they keep him, a bunch of poison pills kick in. Now I don't know how that squares with Tottenham seemed to be the only suitor. Maybe they just misread the market. But at the same time, they have a new manager, which is Ruby from Espanyol, who's another sort of up-and-coming manager in the mold of Quique Setién, who they just let go because Betis just completely fell apart in the back half of the season. You look at that team, they let go of some strikers, they let go of some attackers. Joaquin's one of their best attackers, and that guy's he's... ancient. Yeah, exactly. He's still really effective, but if I were them, I would not be relying on him. They signed Juan Mi already this summer. They were linked with a striker that played at Espanyol last year, who was a pretty good player. I just think they've been, maybe I'm misreading it, and they had an excess of players on their squad, but they've let a lot of guys go this summer. And it just feels like with a new manager that they're going to want to make more signings than they have. And maybe I'm just misreading the tea leaves, but between the fact that I think they can't afford to keep Lo Celso and they just bought him to flip him, and the fact that, like I said, they have a new manager who wants to remake the squad and they've let a ton of guys go, I just, if I were that, maybe they think, okay, we just have to hit the end of the Premier League transfer window and we still have a few weeks to buy everyone we want to buy. But I can't imagine they want to let this go down to the absolute last minute.
So if Lo Celso is really trying to offload him, are there other suitors? Because it sounds, I mean, it sounds to me like the Lo Celso purchase might be Eriksen contingent. Do you guys think we're going to end up with both Lo Celso and Eriksen, or it's only going to happen if we sell Eriksen?
I mean, Spurs are certainly putting it out there that they have to sell to buy now, and that feels like something that could be true, but I mean, I don't want to give ITK any credence, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk that that's not necessarily true. I don't know. It seems to me like we need to sell Eriksen to buy Lo Celso. What do you think, Rob?
I think they need to sell Eriksen to buy Lo Celso. And also, Eriksen has been, or his representatives have been making noises again about him leaving and not being willing to sign a new contract.
Yeah. Now, so, is that just talk?
Well, I think that might be the next domino, the next piece that sort of determines how the summer is going to go.
The problem is, by all accounts, what's holding up Eriksen going to Madrid is the fact that Zidane wants fucking Pogba, and
yeah, well, he's not getting him.
Yeah, so. No. So it's how quickly does he just resign himself to reality?
Right. There were some reports in the Spanish press that they've decided to turn their attention now to Eriksen.
And what surprised me about those reports is the numbers quoted from the Madrid side have been higher than I was expecting, which are, I mean, we've been seeing numbers like in the high 60s, mid 70s, which I was going to be happy if we could get in the mid 50s to the low 60s for him. Because he's only got 1 year left, but.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if they've actually sat down to try negotiating. So.
I just knowing what we know about Lo Celso's deal with Betis, knowing what we know about the clause that PSG still has in the contract, do you guys think, I mean, I can't imagine we don't pay more for him than we paid for Ndombele. Do you guys think that's what's going to end up happening?
Yeah, I think probably like 65 million.
70 tops. Yeah, 70 tops instead maybe.
Like 65 with escalators, like we did with Ndombele was 55 plus extras. That seems reasonable.
I mean,
and again, these guys are both so young. Lo Celso's 23 and Ndombele is 22. You know, that puts the core of our team, again, way under 25 in a way that is awesome. You know, as good as Eriksen is, as much as I love him and wanted to stay forever, selling a guy at that peak value to reinvest in someone 5 years younger who, you know, could probably do the same things. Actually, I have no idea how old Eriksen is, but younger, definitely younger.
It's like 25, 26, you know. I think. So, but that's how we got where we are. And frankly, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, Ben and Rob, but I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. Like, a lot of my hesitancy in selling Eriksen was I didn't necessarily trust this team to replace him properly because Eriksen's so good and so important, and we really hit the lottery with him. In a way that we just, I don't think many teams do for what he cost and how good he became. And I was just very skeptical that we would be able or willing to replace him or at least restructure the team in a way to sort of replace his production. And frankly, getting these two players, assuming we get, I mean, Ndombele is not an Eriksen replacement, I should be clear, but getting him and pairing him with Lo Celso, hell, just getting Lo Celso on his own, that's about, I don't know if he'll be as good as Eriksen's been, but that's about as good as I could ask this team to realistically do. He's young, he's on the come up, his numbers look great, he's done great things in different areas of the pitch on PSG and Betis. Maybe he won't be as good. It's hard for me to complain about Lo Celso being your next step from Eriksen. That's the kind of thing I'd want to see from this club, even if he's going to cost a gajillion dollars more than Eriksen did.
Yeah, I mean, my reticence was definitely, you know, over the last, well, certainly last season, but recent signings, have not looked like, you know, we have had our scouting and analysis and analytics department firing on all cylinders, getting a lot of busts, a lot of, you know, Stambulis and Fazios, and not a lot of Heung-Min Sons. And, you know, replacing a guy of that caliber is really difficult. And given our failure to hit all of our top targets last summer, it seemed really likely that we'd go into this summer and have an idea of who we wanted, whiff on it, and then have no other answers and be fucked. So this definitely makes me feel better. And the other guy we've been linked with as a possible Eriksen replacement is Danny Ceballos. And that's a guy who, it sounds like a loan deal is what we're talking about now.
I don't know about you guys. To me, this feels like we're throwing smoke at Betis. I mean, I don't know what you think. He doesn't sound enthusiastic about it. I mean, I'd take him. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have him on our team. But part of the problem with Spurs with getting a guy who's been at Madrid, I mean, we're never either going to – he's already gotten the bag. And even if we could offer him a raise, he's probably going to get more if he can stay and succeed at Madrid. And athletes are always crazy confident lunatics. And he probably thinks he can, even if he can't. And honestly, I don't know what Madrid's doing getting rid of him, but
yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, Madrid tend to sell guys with a buyback clause. You know, guys like Casemiro and like Morata, you know, they sold them, but they made sure that they could bring them back as needed and put them right back on their team. And that's something that Daniel Levy would never agree to. But Daniel Levy's also...
Oh, especially if we're letting Eriksen go. Like, I don't think he's going to, you know, we're getting somebody back that we can control.
Right, right. Yeah, we don't want to leave his future in Real Madrid's hands. So alone, in a similar way, just feels really unlikely unless it has a clause to buy, which is kind of out of character for Madrid. So I don't know how this deal makes total sense.
I mean, they did just do this with Kovacic in Chelsea. So it's not...
Kovacic right, wanted to get out of Madrid, and he was pretty vocal about it.
Well, yeah, he wasn't playing.
He'd squandered a lot more time in Madrid than Ceballos has, who's still a lot younger. I don't know. It could happen. It's a weird deal.
I mean, to me, it feels like... Like I said, it feels like we're trying to send signals to Batiste that, like, hey, you're not the only girl at the dance, and... You know, I'm sure Madrid's willing to throw us a bone in regards to this in terms of, like, spreading rumors in Spanish papers. You know, which is fine, because I'm just glad they're not interested in buying Lo Celso themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, like, he is a really good alternative to Lo Celso. He's not as, you know, Lo Celso this past season demonstrated a lot of goal-scoring and assisting kind of capabilities that he hadn't really been in his game at PSG, and Ceballos is much more of a midfielder. But
Lo Celso was much more of a midfielder at PSG. It's worth remembering.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, he's not as much of an Eriksen direct replacement as Lo Celso might be. But again, I think if we're going to buy somebody and it's not Lo Celso, he's a really good target that we should be after. So, you know, I think we're kind of calling Batista's bluff a little bit. Be like, look, if you keep thinking you can drum up other suitors, do it because we've got other options. And if you don't, you know, blink first, we'll just move on. And that seems like how I would read the game that's being played right now. But who knows?
Well, and so much of this is, like I said, I think this has been really... I think the Copa America has really cooled the jets on this whole thing. Like, you know, the guy's playing in a major tournament. He's on the other side of the ocean. Like, you know, one way or another, I think it wasn't going to progress rapidly while the tournament's going on. Now, it looks like he might not be playing in it after tonight, so maybe this will escalate. Maybe Betis will just hold out till the very end of the window. I don't think this is going to move as fast as the Ndombele transfer did, but who the hell knows? I think we're going to be able to really get a feel for the tenor of this in the next week or two as the Copa America is in the rearview mirror.
Also, thankfully, he hasn't been like the player of the tournament.
Yeah,
to, raise
that's
his
been
price
great.
By another 20 million.
Attract United's actual attention.
Yeah, I think the point that you guys are making that's really a nice sort of reason for confidence is that we're identifying our targets and actually going for them, and it's not like in past years where we're going to end up with their non-union Mexican equivalents. Like, we have targets, we have backups, we have alternatives, and we're willing to pay what it costs to get them. So,
well, and it's just like, Ben, you were talking about the type of players we've gotten in recent years, and I think like that's the difference with this guy. Like, we're not with both of these guys, we're not buying, you know, we're not dumpster diving, we're not looking for bargains, we're not, you know, buying lottery tickets and hoping it works out, although to some extent any signings like that. We are, you know, we're going for top shelf talent, and we are, it is hard to say that there are better young midfielders in Europe than these two guys who are realistically available. You know, obviously Pogba's not a guy we're going to be able to get. Ceballos is very hard. You know, it's just, these are really good targets, and we actually seem to be getting them, and I think it is incredible.
It's a lot like Heung-min Son. I think that's probably the closest transfer to it, in that, you know, these are guys who are obviously good at a level that, you know, we feel reasonably confident will translate well. You know, they should be on the radar of bigger teams, and for whatever reason, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're young enough that they're about to be stars. And, you know, I think here we go again.
But it's great from every pot. Look at it. They're young, so they, like you said, Ben, they lower the age of our team. You know, that's very good for a whole variety of reasons. They I think combine these guys, and I want to talk about that in a second. You know, that's going to really help enhance the way Spurs play, especially if we get both of them. But on top of all that, if you're just looking at from how have Tottenham been successful, it's like we buy these guys, we sell them at their peak, we reinvest the money, we keep it up, we improve on sort of every iteration of this. I mean, I don't want to see good players leave Spurs, but if these guys are, like, wanting good enough to go to a mega club in, like, 3-4 years, and we can, you know, super cash in on them again. Yeah, right. It's, you know, it's not a guarantee of success, but it's probably our best chance of keeping this going. And these are the kind of guys we need to be buying. And it's great that we're actually doing it, and we didn't need to use, like, Jedi mind tricks like we did with Sun this time.
Yeah, so what's next? You know, after, which also obviously happens.
Sessegnon, which might,
still on?
I mean, that might happen beforehand. It seems like all the articles that you would read, like all the stuff in The Guardian, all the stuff in the BBC, like at the end of every article about Ndombele, they mention Sessegnon is probably next. Now, that might just be lazy writing on their parts. In fact, it probably is. But I think that speaks to the fact that, again, another player, not as good as the other two, but another player linked with Spurs that has no other serious suitors this offseason. I think Sessegnon's next, and then, I don't know, fullbacks are where I'm most confused. Rob, we've been sort of tangentially linked with, I think there was a Japanese guy in France we got linked with who's like 29, but we haven't been seriously linked with another fullback this offseason, unless you count Sessegnon, I guess.
Well, we've been linked also with Sessegnon's twin brother.
But that's like buying Kyle Walker-Peters, right? Like, that guy's right back. He's not going to be a starter.
Well, I don't know.
By all accounts, he's good. I think.
Yeah.
What Joel was saying today in the Slack chat was that he is supposed to be, you know, as good as his brother. He's just had a little bit of some injury hiccups, so he hasn't gotten into a team as quickly.
I mean, I'm all for getting that. I just don't think we can bank on it as a, you know, something we should be relying on next year.
Well, I think we should be buying a starter at either or both fullback positions, and Tottenham may or may not agree.
Well, look, if this...
Go ahead. Say we've also been linked with Max Aarons at Norwich, who's been linked with some other sort of big clubs as well, but...
And he's a right Norwich back, correct?
Yeah, he's okay. A right back. Norwich don't really want to sell him. He's just signed... they want him to sign a new contract. So that's... But again, that's not a guy who walks in and is automatically the starter. So it is a little weird. Even as we've been reported to be shopping our fullbacks, we haven't really been linked with
one.
A whole lot of... targets.
Very preliminary stuff about Rose and really concrete links about Trippier. But I think it's not a surprise that Tierney got linked to Napoli. I think it was Napoli today. Maybe I'm getting the wrong Italian team.
It was Napoli.
But I don't I mean, I don't know how concrete that link is, but if Spurs are cool in their Jets, you know, I wouldn't be shocked, would you?
I mean, I think Napoli was always interested in Kieran Tierney and not Kieran Trippier, and they got something lost in translation.
Fair enough.
Now it's finally coming out what they really meant. Yeah, I mean, I think the other problem is Serge Aurier, who just got hurt at the African Cup of Nations, and, you know, that makes him a little harder to move. You know, that plus his whole personality, career, baggage, etc. You know, nobody wants that guy, probably. And I can't see us turning over both of our right back spots, even though it's an area that we all as fans are like, these guys are clearly not good enough.
Would you be fine if we went, I mean, not Aaron's, because I think Aaron's is a little young, but if we went out and got like a 26 to 30-year-old right back, just to like, okay, we're going to do what we do with Scott Parker. We're going to get 2 or 3 years out of you, and then you can go. Would you be fine with rolling with like Kyle Walker-Peters as a backup?
I don't think Kyle Walker-Peters is good. I mean, I think we have Kyle Walker-Peters, Juan Foyth, Aurier, and then I guess if we get some veteran stopgap, something in there might shake out to be a good right back situation, but, you know, I guess Danny Alves is a free agent. We can just plug him in there and call it a day. I'm not super confident that that's a good idea, but if we just decide we have bigger fish to fry and, you know, want to punt on this for a season, maybe we can get away with it.
I mean, I don't, like we talked about earlier, who knows how many years we're going to get with these guys. I'd rather not punt, but if we can do what we did last year with those fullbacks, shit. Like, I'll fuck with it.
Yeah, but if we can get real money for Trippier or Aurier, I mean, it seems reasonable that we could then invest that same money in a decent...
Hey, if we're going to do that, I'm just nervous because we have not been concretely linked with any fullbacks. And even the Aaron's link is very... I feel like it's a little old at this point. Like, that's what makes me nervous. Like, if we were... I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, I understand the Lo Celso and the Ndombele signings are extremely large signings, and they're going to attract more attention, but I feel like there's been no buzz. Maybe it's going to be like Son. I don't know. Maybe it'll come out of nowhere.
I mean, I think part of it is, you know, again, Daniel Levy does all of our transfer business, and we've just signed two guys today. You know, we have Lo Celso that's still obviously in the works. We have the Sessegnon brothers that's still obviously in the works. We have selling Christian Eriksen. Like, that's a lot to occupy his time right now.
And arguably more important.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think, you know, we can maybe let the right back situation slide a little bit and, like, wrap up the deals we have in front of us before turning our attention there. It's possible that's why everything's so quiet, is that we're just not our focus yet, but it still might be. And it's also possible that we don't sign anybody because we all lived through the past year, and we know what that's like.
I mean, it's one of those questions you got to ask yourself. I mean, certainly I would rather spend the money on midfield if I had to choose, both from a future perspective and a just this year perspective. But it'd be nice if we could do both.
It sure would.
I mean, I think if we roll out with, like, an Ndombele, Lo Celso in that team, even if we lose Eriksen, like, I think that's going to improve our fullback play. I think our fullbacks will still be a problem. You know, you hope Davies is, you know, a lot of the problem. I mean, Davies, I feel like, has never been great against top-tier opposition, but he's always been acceptable on, like, sort of beyond the top six. And last year he wasn't, but it seems like he was carrying a groin injury for most of the year, so hopefully that was all that was going on. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, Danny... he's had a hernia operation now.
Yeah.
You know, the year before he was just racking up assists against bad teams. Like, people thought he was good.
It's like what Trippier was when we had Walker. It's like, okay, I don't want to play him against City, but, like, you know, we're Tottenham, so we're not going to have, like, a like-for-like replacement for Walker. So, yeah, he's fine to, like, play in cup games and against lesser teams when we do rotation. And, you know, if we got to play him in a pinch against a good team, like, he's good enough for that role, but it is what it is. And, you know, I feel like old Davies was kind of like that, even if I'd like someone better, as long as we're starting Danny Rose.
Well, another concern of mine, honestly, though, is our attacking midfield kind of wide player situation. And it's a thing that I didn't think would be a problem. It seemed like we were kind of finally pretty talent-rich in our attack. But if we're selling Eriksen and Lo Celso ends up being more of a midfielder, we're basically running out Sonny, Dele, and Lucas. You know, obviously with Kane. And I think Lamella is almost certainly not sticking around.
Oh, I disagree. I think he'll just fade into the background.
Well, whatever. Like, he's not...
He's not really a key component.
He's not going to... Like, who's our fourth attacking midfielder? It's kind of like Lamella, Sissoko? Oh, gee. Maybe we move Lo Celso up and get Winks in midfield? Like, it's not a super deep position anymore. And, you know, maybe Sessegnon is the guy that we're hoping to...
Well, all the chatter, and I have lost the ability to separate ITK and actual reporting, so I can't remember where I read this. So, you know, ITK is frequently bullshit, but I enjoy reading it anyway. But a lot of the chatter was, we're not going to play him at left back. We're going to play him at left wing to start, and long term we see Sessegnon as a left back. So maybe that does make sense. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, we also don't have a backup for Kane, so that backup is a combination of Lucas and Son. And it's just, now I'm just all of a sudden, as we're fixing all of our other problems, paranoid that we don't have enough coverage for rotation and multiple competitions.
Well, when do we need to rotate? When do we need to rotate Kane anyway? So
that's true.
Can we spare a thought for the just released Fernando Llorente?
You know what?
Hero of the Champions
League? Fernando Llorente more than paid for his time at Spurs with his amazing hip goal and his crucial header, and that time he tried to fight West Ham by himself. You know, like, not probably should have done better there, but kudos to you, Fernando Llorente. You are worth what we paid for you.
Yeah, I mean, we might have had a better backup striker than him, but it's hard to argue with those Champions League results.
Yeah, they'll show him on camera when he's, like, attending a game of ours in, like, 5 years, and I'll have, like, a few warm and fuzzy memories of him, and, you know, we'll make a joke about how he couldn't move, and, you know, we'll all get on with our lives. So,
I mean, if he'd only started the final, we might be sitting here as Champions League winners.
Yep, yep. But
instead, he came to the Harry Kane lobby.
Then we could sign him in midseason when Harry Kane goes down again. No talk about backup strikers. That's a little interesting. It seems like the first year we've just decided to say fuck it and, like, use Son.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Harry Kane's always healthy.
I don't know. We got enough fucking problems. Like, I feel like it's always going to be hard to sign a backup striker for Spurs, but...
It'll just be keeping the seat warm for Troy Parrott anyway.
Exactly, exactly. So, anyway, I'm pretty fucking excited.
Actually, we did sign a striker.
What?
Is that teenager a striker?
200,000-pound striker.
Well, he's... Yeah, okay.
That kid we signed from Notts County?
Yeah, whose name I am not even going to attempt.
Did we sign that? Was that kid we got from Celta Vigo? Did that happen?
No.
Oh, all right. Well,
not officially.
It would be nice if that happened, too. Anyway, we got a lot of work left to do this summer, but it's pretty hard not to be excited about Spurs with Ndombele. Not only did we sign Ndombele, but we got him before preseason, so he'll be here for all the preseason. So they're actually going to be able to integrate him into the team as much as they're able. I mean, it's a brave new world, boys.
I'll believe that when I see it.
No, they will. He's actually here in time for preseason. They signed him today, Rob.
It's September 1st, and Ndombele is making his first start of the season.
Oh, God.
After a month on the bench.
Andre Villas-Pochettino. Well, on that lovely note, I think it's time
to... Here's a more positive note. Brazil scored a second, so... Lo Celso is probably coming home, so we can wrap that deal up next week.
Yeah, Lo Celso by lunchtime, baby.
Lo Celso came into the game.
That's so definitely his fault.
Yep, absolutely. So why would you want him if you're Manchester United? Is he not good enough to wear the famous red jersey of Manchester United? I don't think so.
Also, more importantly, Juan Foyth tried to murder Willian. So
really, that's what matters.
I think.
Is Willian still in Chelsea?
Yes. Because they refused to sell him to Barcelona.
Delightful. Just utterly delightful.
Now they can't sign anybody, so they desperately need him and Pedro.
How could that go wrong? Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap it up. Ben, any final thoughts on transfer mania, Tottenham Hotspur?
I just want to express my condolences to all you Lioness fans out there who had to watch your women's team get humiliated today at the hands of the U.S. women's national team.
Well, I mean,
so
it's nice. We finally settled the soccer versus football debate, and it's soccer, so.
And that's it. It's official. Can't wait for the World Cup soccer final on Sunday.
Ben, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
All right, Rob, any final transfer thoughts for our intrepid listeners today?
We would be remiss without bringing up our friend Joel's favorite Tottenham Hotspur player, Marcus Edwards, who had a very productive season in the Eredivisie. And
I wonder if the microphone can pick up my eyes rolling into the back of my head.
We'll add that audio later.
Yeah, he's gone. He gone.
He will be returning to Tottenham Hotspur with a year left on his contract. Would solve your attacking midfielder problems.
Oh, my God.
And also you're not having Messi problem.
Breakout star of the season.
Jesus.
And Dombo my who.
Rob, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me sipping my tea at Rena Wallabout on Twitter.
And you can always find me talking about, you know, just professional wrestling at Tottenham Hotspur at Skipjack0079. And, of course, you can catch me on my LinkedIn at Brett Rainbow. For Rob, and, of course, for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs.